We turn in the Old Testament scriptures again this evening to Psalm and Psalm number 4. Psalm number 4. One of these psalms penned by David the prophet, the king, who when he was pursued relentlessly by his rebellious, wicked son, Absalom. And how indeed, when he was pursued by even a member of his own kin, his own flesh, he was able to look up and see God was his helper. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Who will show us any good?" Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. There indeed are many people who question. They may not use these very words, but this is the question they all speak forth at some time or another. Where is good to be found? Where is good to be found? Many people ask this question for many motives. Man in general questions the very meaning of life. While some who say they believe God. They even believe in the true God. They believe in the true God and Saviour. When trouble comes, such question that God is faithful, such question that he is to be trusted, such people prove themselves to be faithless. They are all spoken of here as God the Holy Spirit leads the sweet psalmist David to write these words. They are all spoken of here in Psalm 4 verse 6. There be many that say, "Who will show us any good?" Who will show us any good? Mankind mankind on the whole to this day continues as ever, as it ever has been, continues to look for good, for those things to their betterment, to do them good, continues to look for good in all the wrong places and in all the wrong things, continually. Nothing new under the sun. That thing which has been in the past, it shall be again. All the wrong things, be they material benefits, be they relationships of all persuasions, or even false religion. Man is continually looking in all the wrong places. All the while, the gospel herald goes forth. All the while, the gospel herald, the message, the good news of God's grace goes forth into all the world, even today. And men and women and children run around with their fingers in their ears, turning their back, preferring darkness to light, seeking good elsewhere. The gospel goes forth that there is but one way to know good, the way of goodness unto your soul. That is in him who essentially is good. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, many people came to him. Many addressed him rightly as he was. And some said to him, "Good teacher." And he said, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good." Well, they were right, but did they understand what they said? The only way to know good is to know God. The one who is good, for the Almighty alone is good. Psalm 34:8 tells us, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Good, not might be good, not can be good. He is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. In him. In him who is God. In Jesus Christ, the Lord. The way, the truth, and the life. But see what man does continually. See what man does. And we see in three parts here this evening. There are three responses. Two of them are indeed one and the same. And then we see the third, altogether different from the rest of mankind. Firstly, as David says, "There be many that say, who will show us any good?" Because lost man is dead, dead, lifeless spiritually, dead in trespasses and sins, and having no knowledge, no experience, no desire of the Holy One. All are by nature open to all manner of ways. All manner of ways that would promise them good. They are open to all manner of ways that would promise them good. To fill this void. I say all. Naturally, lost man, sinful and opposed to God, is open to all manner of ways to fill the void, to find good, all except the way of truth and peace, the way of good. For this sums up what we all are from conception. Sinners. And we continue in this way if left to ourselves. Do not be fooled. There is no one. There is no one who decided to follow Jesus. The ones who decided to follow Jesus, you will read of in the Gospels, when they heard the truth, when they heard the cutting words, when they heard the words of grace and truth from the Son of God, when they heard the words in their entirety, they turned away and walked no more. No one decides to follow Jesus. No one decides to follow after God. No one finds God. No one's searching for God. Even though God is not lost. No, left to ourselves, we continue on this path. We read earlier on from Psalm 53. And interestingly, Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 are almost word for word identical. Foolish man have said in his heart. Literally the words are, have said in his heart, no God. Not only there is no God, to God, no. No, I don't want you. But why? Well, why? Because as the children of Adam, we are all in total rebellion. Total and utter rebellion against the Almighty. Ephesians 2, declaring to those who have been called by the grace of God, they were told that they were even as the others. No different from the others. You who know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've known the grace of God, you were as the others once. No different. Declaring all outside of Christ to be, here in Ephesians 2, children of disobedience. That's the character. That's the nature. Of all children of disobedience. Everything about the human nature is opposed to God. For the carnal mind is enmity against him. Romans 8. At least against him who is the true God. Sure, man will follow after all kinds of gods that they imagine to be God. We read about that in Romans 1. They make gods of four-footed beasts and winged creatures. They make gods to resemble themselves. They worship the moon, the sun, the stars. Not the true God. Not the true God. They worship the gods of their own making, who will do their bidding. No God at all. And as the parable of the sower teaches, the gospel of Christ has no impact naturally. The gospel of Christ has no natural impact upon anyone. No natural impact. It can't. It's totally opposed to our nature. We are flesh by nature. We are not spirit. We're dead spiritually. And Jesus says, my words are spirit. Yes, the gospel has no impact naturally on vast numbers of people, even today. The message being snatched away. Matthew 13, verses 4 and 19, beg your pardon. For indeed, mankind has for centuries, for millennia, since we fell into sin in Adam, has sought to answer this question: who will show us any good? With gods of many kinds, all according to man's imagination, all manner of religion, all manner of worldly philosophies, all manner of ways of living, all manner of political systems, all manner of social experiments. Each one leading away from any good. Each one. As the word of God instructs us, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. But note this, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. We read also identical words in Proverbs 16. It's one way of falsehood with many tentacles. And most of them don't even agree with one another. But they're all leading the same way. None of them is leading to good. All these different things people seek after for happiness are all the same. Be it moral living or be it immoral living. Be it religion or be it atheism. If it's not the way of truth, they are all the same. They are all the same. They are all together become unprofitable. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are the same, leading to the bitterness of destruction. But see, secondly, there are some who appear to hear the gospel. Who appear to hear the gospel, and not only hear the gospel, but appear to believe the gospel. Even as these who David particularly in his situation speaks of here, who followed him, who went with him, who were loyal to him. Him who was the Lord's anointed king. They went with him. They did not fall with the rebellion of Absalom. They went with David and they stood with David and they fled with David and they stood by him. They seemed to for a season. Yes, there are some who appear to follow, to believe Christ for a season. But like many who were with David the psalmist, who fled from his rebellious son Absalom, such people claiming to trust the very God that David trusted. Two daughters-in-law decided to go back with Naomi, but only one continued on in that path. For only one truly said, "Your God shall be my God." The other one, when given the option to turn back, heeded the words to turn back. The other one would not leave Naomi's side. The Lord Jesus turning to his disciples when so many turned from him and walked with him no more, saying, "These things are too hard. Will you also leave me?" Well, yes. Unless you have tasted the grace of God. Unless you've tasted the grace of God in the gospel of God. Unless you've tasted the grace of God by the Son of God. You're going nowhere. To whom shall we go to find good now? You have the words of eternal life. But many, many for a season say they follow Jesus. I love Jesus. I love to sing his praises. I even give up my time to Jesus. Just ask Judas Iscariot. He was committed. Yet these people who followed with David for a season, there were people who said, when the going got tough, when the cost came, "Who will show us any good? Where is God? Where is the good that God promises?" These ones had no faith. They knew not the Saviour God. For had they done so, had they known God, they would not have been as those Israelites of old who were quick to follow Moses when it meant crossing over the Red Sea and being out of bondage in chains in Egypt. But when the going got tough in those 40 years in the wilderness, it wasn't long before those who followed, but having no faith, were shown up. They turned on the Lord's anointed, and they turned on God, and they accused God, and they said it was better to be in Egypt. They wanted to go back. The Lord Jesus saying, "Anyone who lays his hand to the plough and looks back is of no use in the kingdom." Yes, they followed for a time, But they wanted the old life soon enough. The Lord Jesus said, there are some just like that who initially appear to respond to the gospel. They initially are glad even. Glad. Now, I'm not saying we should be morbid and overly serious. But sometimes you can almost be suspicious of some that have a kind of a forced gladness. What I mean is, they're always on cloud nine. I do not believe there's a single child of God who that is the case with. That's not what we're promised. But there are some who appear to always be shouting and screaming, and they've got everything is so great all the time. Well, maybe. I'm very skeptical. I would watch and heed the wise words of someone who once said to me, time will tell. Time will tell. For it always does. The Lord Jesus is saying that here. Time does tell. Even they profess to believe Christ, but they show themselves sooner or later to be false believers. Matthew 13, 20 to 22. These fall into two groups. Some fall away because of the opposition they face. They are built on the stony ground. While others love worldly gain. They love worldly achievement far more than the kingdom of God. Both are false believers. Many there are today, false believers in false churches, who seek after signs and lying wonders to give them faith. Moving from one experience to another, who yet have no true saving knowledge of Christ. As their faith, you see, is based upon sight. Their faith, so called, is found to be dead. Others there are who do not stand for truth anymore, who are so quickly moved from truth, who will not stand for the truth of the gospel that was once delivered, who go along with the crowd rather than to stand alone with God, if it be the case. Fearing man rather than God. Sadly, also there are people who once professed faith on Christ, once professed, I love the Lord. And today, look for them. Where are they? They are now immersed. In the depraved pleasures of this present world. They are like Demas, this sad figure we hear of, that Paul tells Timothy of in some of his last words as he writes when he's facing execution. He says, Demas, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. They are some of the saddest words in the whole of the New Testament. Yet thirdly, there is another group. There is another group of people who these negative words, "Who shall show us any good?" are caused to point them toward God, and they become, oh, so positive words. There is another group of people, different from all humanity, different from those who seek false gods, different from false believers, different from all these who are one and the same. This group of people are exercised with this question in a positive way, so as to be directed to know the answer that satisfies. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? Satisfaction. Satisfy. And what is that? Such people, the elect of God, chosen unto salvation in Christ Jesus, and finding him to be their light, are caused, and note the word, they are caused. They are caused to look to God through Christ Jesus for their help. They are caused to look to God through Christ Jesus alone to find that good. God says such a people who like all the others without faith, once had no desire for him, even as all the others, negatively saying, "Who shall show us any good?" Romans 10:20, "I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me." Salvation is of the Lord. But when salvation is manifested, is brought to light, when salvation is brought to be known, oh, then the heart is turned. Turned, this is repentance. Turned from ourselves to God. Yet a change has taken place, you see, has taken and does take place. It is still taking place with the people of God today. Something only God could do. No one can change his course. No one can change his nature. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leper change his spots, says the word of God? No, but if God does it, if God changes the course we're taking, if God comes and makes that drastic change, there is a change. There is a change. These special ones, you even now who believe, have passed from death unto life. And have been caused to see the Lord's salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ, when you did not before. Like the psalmist who says here, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. These are very similar words to the words that Moses said to the people of Israel. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You who God reveals to you, your hopeless, helpless state, possessing no good thing, nothing but sin in yourself, and with no hope of God's goodness and mercy without the Saviour, are caused to look to him for your light and your salvation. As these words are translated, Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Shine forth, we're saying. Shine forth on me, Lord. Shine forth the light of your countenance. Shine it forth. Shine forth your countenance. Countenance being your very presence upon me. As God opened the eyes of faith upon you who believe, he opened your eyes of faith not to look away elsewhere for any good, but to look unto him who is your light, saying unto you, arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You have been caused to look, if you know Christ, to look to him who is your light. You who know God have been brought to know that the Lord is good. Who will show us any good? The Lord has shown us good. He has been gracious unto us. Yet it is God who has revealed. It is God who has done it all. It is God who has revealed himself and gives such a desire for his presence in his people. As indeed David, the psalmist, was no stranger to God's countenance and presence with him. And so he cries out, Lord, lift up thy countenance, the light of thy countenance upon us. Because he knew this God. He knew this God. He was caused to know this God. But God gave him this salvation. God gave him this knowledge. God gave him this wisdom unto salvation. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so God must give this desire for salvation. This is what it means to be born again. To be born of God. These are the only ones who have the right to be called children of God. because they're born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You who know not Christ, call on him. Call on him. You who know all things, you know completely. You know deep down. You know all things. You have tried to bring you good, eternal good and peace. All have and will fail you. There is no good in anything. That's why everything is always changing. Trust him. Trust him who is good. Trust him who is the light of the world. Trusting him. Calling on him, believing him, you shall have the light of life and you shall not walk in darkness. And indeed you have the promise of God's word, you shall lack no good thing. You may lack many things that the world considers good, but you shall lack no good thing. You who know this wonderful Saviour, this great God, always, ever seek the guidance, the comfort, the wisdom and peace of his countenance, of his special presence with you. David trusted this. Who will show us any good? None but him who is good. None but Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen again. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.